Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right. Nice.
We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super mamás!
Hola, Super Mamas. This is Paulina, and this week on the show, we brought some major help. Marisa and I have been struggling so much with our kids regressing from our initial potty training that we brought in Jenny Phelps from Oh Crap Potty Training so she can give us some tips. We already implemented some of them and they have worked wonders. So we hope they do the same for you. Enjoy the show.
Hi, sisters. How is everybody doing?
Hi, everybody.
How are you, Paulina?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Did you watch the Oscars last night?
Of course I did.
Oh, my gosh. That's like the Super Bowl at my house.
I can't imagine. Did you like have a party or what? No?
Just my husband and I and the baby was drinking his coconut water out of the champagne glass.
Aww.
And he would always go, cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
So did your favorites win?
Not really. I didn't really have any favorites. The only favorite I had was Kubo, and Kubo didn't win. And I was like,
I love Zootopia. I haven't.
My son is obsessed with Nicholas Wilde. He loves Zootopia.
Nicholas
so,
P. Wilde.
Yeah. So, you know, but I just really wanted Kubo to win.
And I still haven't watched that movie.
This is why they didn't win. Because of people like you. Damn.
And what about that?
Oh, at the end?
I know,
oh my
right?
God. So my husband really wanted Moonlight to win. Like, he really wanted Moonlight to win so bad. And he did not like La La Land. So when they announced La La Land to win, he was like, oh, bullshit. Like, he was just, like, upset. And then, like...
That was so fun.
And then, like,
I saw the commotion in the back. You could see the commotion. And I was like, what's going on? But, you know, it was just so confusing.
And when it was, like, no Moonlight won, my husband was like, yes! He went crazy. And I was like, wait, is this for real? And then we watched it again this morning. I think he's probably
just to make sure.
I mean, he's probably watched that like probably 3 times right now.
I know, everybody was like, oh my God, they took Thunder away, blah blah blah. Blah,
my husband was like, hey, that's so sad, they didn't get to have their moment. I was like, I feel bad for the other guy who was pouring his heart out, like, thanks to my wife for you, like, up there. And it's like, psych, you didn't win.
That was really messed up. I thought I was like,
it was messed up on all parts.
I know.
On all parts. On the other one, because, like, now no one's, like, talking about, like, how amazing the movie is. Now it's about, like, the mix-up. And then the other ones for, like, here, never mind.
Let me have it back. I feel like somebody, like, that had already had it on their hands just ran with it. And they were like, fuck this. I'm taking this home with me.
Oh, I don't know. I think somebody took away an Oscar. Like, they took away. He was like,
I know. And in the back, I saw like, people were like ripping away the envelopes from people's hands. And it was just weird. Like, to see it in the background was weird. I was like, what's going on? What is that person doing up there?
Anyway,
I feel bad for Ryan Gosling. And I just feel like he needs a hug right now. You know, I just feel like
Ryan Gosling
need to give him a
tiene
hug.
Una cara como que siempre quiere hacer del baño.
I'm telling you, you're obsessed with the bathroom.
But doesn't he seems like this, like, I need to go pee. Or I need to go poo. He's got that face.
I don't know. I would hug him either way, just to make sure he's okay.
I don't think he's good looking.
I think he's really sexy.
He doesn't do it for me. You know who's good looking? I sent a screenshot of the guy to Tita last night. I don't even know his name. The guy from the night of, what's his name? Riz Ahmed. Have you guys seen the HBO series The Night Of? Such a great show.
Is it the guy from The Lion? The movie Lion?
No.
RZA. RZA sounds to me like Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, no, he's not from the Wu-Tang. but speaking of poop and peep and having the face of somebody that wants to go to the bathroom, we have a potty training expert with us today.
Thank the Lord.
Going to give us so many great tips. So we recorded her interview last week, and I already implemented all the tips she told us. Mm-hmm. My kid is 100% now. 100%.
Mine too.
100%.
I know. We started like the day off, like after we recorded, I called my husband. I was like, when you pick up the baby from school, you're going to do this and this and this. And she has been successful. Like, you know, I just have to like remind myself, I have to be very patient because we were late for church yesterday because we had to wait for her to go to the bathroom. But then after that, you know, like no more accidents. So yeah. It's been great. And I think she is going to give her so many good tips. I put him to work. We still put him to work. And, you know, our kids are back on track.
They're back on track.
In a few days.
It took 3 days. And yeah. Now he's 100% again back on track.
Awesome. So.
All right, ladies. Enjoy our interview with our potty training expert, Jenny Phelps. Hi, Jenny.
Hey.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You come at a perfect time in our lives.
Yes.
And it's so funny when you texted me, you're like, hi, Jenny from Oh Crap. I was like, wait, is she saying Oh Crap? But that's the name of your company.
Yes.
Oh Crap.
Yes. It is named after the look the parents get on their face when they hear the words potty training.
True. Very true.
One of many other words.
So you are a certified potty training expert, mm-hmm. and you potty trained your daughter when she was 20 months.
Yes.
What?
Damn, sister. Preach. So I think we're going to start off with like our own issues.
Okay.
Paulina, you go first.
So a few weeks ago, I actually took a whole weekend to potty train mm-hmm. my daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was going excellent. Everything was going great. Like she was going number one, number two. She was actually picking up the little potty thing, putting it in a toilet. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Then I went away on a trip for about a week. Mm-hmm. Then she stayed behind with my husband, the babysitter. And then after I came back, I don't know if it was a separation anxiety she had with me or what, but after that, just everything went south. Mm-hmm. She went back to now she's pooping in her pull-ups again, mm-hmm. you know, when we're in the street, like, or if I have her with underwear, she just mm-hmm. basically says, oh, pee-pee. And then she just pees on herself. So like this past weekend, I've had to change her like 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. And she just regressed completely. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do.
So one thing I will say is that I generally tell my clients that it takes most kids about a week with the approaches that I teach to learn the basic skills of potty training. And then it takes about a month for most kids to solidify their skills from there. Okay. So there is, even when once they've gotten it, they need extra time for everything to really, really sink in. And that's mm-hmm. where the consistency of potty training comes in. And that's where it's hard when you leave for a week
right.
To have the same consistency that you were able to give her during that weekend. So in your case, you know, one thing I'll say is that all potty training issues are fixable. So it's not like an all or nothing affair. And I would say in your case, I would go ahead and do a reboot of the potty training process. And I could go through some tips that would help you basically do another weekend of regrouping and re-solidifying, re-getting that consistency for you. One thing we find is that kids do much better when they're bottomless. So if you took a weekend, say, especially a long weekend, if you have it like 2, 3, 4 days and have her bottomless for at least a good 2 or 3 days of that time will help her to relearn the process. It's easier for her. So the easier you make it for her, the better. And we also find that kids have a muscle memory from the diaper. And so pull-ups are essentially diapers.
Right.
And underwear can feel the same as well.
Yeah. Right? Okay. That's always in my thing. I'm like, are you guys just trying to make money in a different way? Like, no more diapers, but here your pup's like, it's the same thing.
I
was using it only at night. Mm-hmm. I got to that point where I was mm-hmm. using pull-ups only at night. Mm-hmm. Or like if we were out for a long time. Well, and even then I wasn't. But then when she started going back, mm-hmm. I had no choice. Mm-hmm. I guess I did have a choice. But like, you know, mm-hmm. I had to put a pull-up. Otherwise in the street, she was like just peeing mm-hmm. on herself every other time. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I had to go back to, and then at school, they kind of required pull-ups during the day. Mm-hmm. So as soon as she gets home, I take them off. Mm-hmm. But then she tells me like, no, I don't want, you know, like she's starting to like rebel a little mm-hmm. bit against the potty training, where she was doing awesome. And I was so proud of myself.
Okay, let's go back to the muscle memory.
Sure.
Muscle memory. Diaper memory.
So kids, if you think about the context of your child's life up to this point, they've been using diapers their entire lives. And the purpose for that is for them to pee and poop in. So when you put a diaper on them or a pull-up, which is a diaper, we basically have to expect that they're going to go in that because that's what they've already known. Right. It's much harder for a child to learn how to use the potty when they're in diapers or when they're in pull-ups because they have to get over that hump. Their body thinks they feel something there, it's okay to release. And so for a lot of kids, it's just an unconscious thing that they go in that. So they physically have to overcome that. And it's much easier to do that without the diapers on. So what you've done is kind of what we call a reset, which is you've put the diapers back on and your potty training, maybe what we call casual potty training, which is potty training with a diaper on. But it's not the intensive immersion part of potty training that you had done before. Right. So I would say when you're ready, go back and do that immersion one more time. Bottomless would be best. And then really try to avoid the pull-ups as much as you can. At night is completely fine. Right. Kids can separate out day and night, no problem. And many kids are not ready to do the nighttime potty training at the same time as they are for the daytime potty training.
Yeah, I remember with my first daughter, somebody told me after she was done during the day, they were like, it's going to take her about a year to do the night. Mm-hmm. And that's how much it took, how long it took.
Yeah. But and yeah, that really depends on the child. Yeah. I work with many kids who are in the 20-month age range and are staying dry through the night. That was not my own child. We had to wait a full year and a half after, you know, she learned daytime potty training to do the nighttime potty training. Yeah. But what you're talking about with the no, that's resistance.
Right.
And that's something that we see a lot. It's one of the most common potty training issues. It's totally doable to work through that. And I have some blog posts on that as well.
And your website is?
On my website is ocrappottytrainingwithjenny.com.
Okay.
And there's lots of blogs and lots of resources there too. But that resistance, that no, is usually a reaction to something. It mm-hmm. can be over-prompting. It can be inconsistency. Like, hey, you're giving me a diaper, but then you're asking me to use the potty and now I'm getting confused and I'm just going to react and say no.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I would go, you know, if you're going to do diapers or pull-ups right now, do that for a little while, couple weeks, and then when you're ready to restart potty training, go back and be consistent again. So we always put our pee in the potty rather than, well, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. That's a recipe for the child to get confused,
right? And so,
which makes total sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you suggest always do like an immersion, like whenever like a
it is the best way to do it. So my foundation is in what we call OCRAP potty training, which is a curriculum that includes blocks of learning. So the first block is bottomless. The second block is what we call commando, which is pants with no undies, which helps them to learn how to use clothes without invoking that muscle memory of the diaper.
Okay.
And then we move forward to undies from there. And so that's the step-by-step approach that I use. But in my consulting, when I'm working with people one-on-one, obviously, you know, we're real world. You have to deal with all kinds of situations, daycare, twins, triplets, all kinds of other things going on. So I do sometimes work with clients on that casual potty training process.
God bless that potty training. Triplets.
But for the majority of situations, that immersion is the best way to do it. Yeah.
And are we, I mean, my baby is 27 months. Mm-hmm. So are we on target?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So the ideal time range for potty training is 20 to 30 months.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that there's a lull in other milestones. And potty training is just a developmental milestone. It's really good to put it in the context of everything else you do as a parent, because so many times we hear potty training and we think that that's a separate thing. And you know what I mean?
Right.
So the 20 to 30 months is they've probably mastered walking or are pretty good at walking by that time. They're not working on other huge milestones that they're trying to overcome. And this is a really huge milestone.
Right.
It's also before the, what I'm sure you've heard of the word threenager, before that kicks in.
Oh, yes.
That extreme individuation. And right. So you get that nice time range between 20 to 30 months, and that's the easiest time to potty train.
That's what I did with my first one. Mm-hmm. I was around the same time, but it was so different. My first one was potty training like 3 to 4 days, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was because she had my full attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Then. Full attention is really helpful. So sometimes if you plan your schedule around that, like if you know, oh, hey, I can send the other child to school, you know, during this time, and I can really intensively work with them. You know, it's good to plan very carefully when you're going to begin to give yourself the most chance of success. So I usually recommend as much as possible a week, not necessarily completely home with the child, but without all kinds of things that you have to do at particular times. Like, I've got to go to the doctor. We've got to go out the door right now. That's a recipe for pressure. And then for the child to too much pressure for the child.
So my question is, how often do you take them, or how often do you offer the potty? Or I know you said that usually takes, like, if you immersion 4 days and then it takes a couple weeks and then a month. But like, my child was a little different. My child at his daycare, they offered him the potty since he was like 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of progressively learned and he was fully immersed for 3 days. And again, I went on a trip too and I noticed the regression, but I think because I didn't give him that 2 months. So like, you answered my question right there. But now if I'm going to do full immersion again, should we time it, like when you wake up first thing, before you go to sleep, or doing any transitions, or what do you recommend?
I know there's a lot of potty training approaches out there that say you need to take your child to sit on the potty or practice every 20 minutes and that sort of thing. And I will say I've worked with hundreds of families and hundreds of kids now, and there's a really wide range of how frequently kids need to pee. Lots and lots of kids I work with don't pee every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They pee like every 3 or 4 hours. And so if you can imagine that you're having someone take you to the potty every 20 minutes, like, put yourself in their shoes and think about that, and then know that you're not going to have to go until 3 hours from now. That is a recipe for overprompting and resistance. So we actually take the approach of waiting for the pee to come. So when we're doing the immersion, we're taking the pants off. We're saying, hey, you know, today's going to be a fun day. I'm going to help you learn to put all your pee pee in the potty and poo poo. And, you know, we're just going to sit here and wait for it to come. And that way you can start learning what your child looks like before they're going to pee, what their special pee pee dance is. And also how frequently they actually need to go, because that can help you to gauge how often to take them to the potty and prevent that kind of resistance that stems from overprompting. Now, I will say that daycares and schools can get away with things a little bit differently. So if every kid is going to the potty once an hour at daycare, most kids are going to say, okay, well, this is what everyone else does. But you know, in that comfort of the home environment that, that you know, you're going to get more reactions to that kind of thing. So it, you know, at first you're going to end up with some accidents on the floor, most likely, or a pee that starts on the floor and ends in the potty while you're learning your child. But it is more effective to do it that way.
And I have another question, because that's something that my sister and I did differently. I would bring the potty where we were. So if we were in the living room, I would put it in the living room. If I was in the room, I would put it in the room. And I know my sister had it in the bathroom the whole time. Is there like a big difference? Like, is there...
It really depends on the child. So I would always recommend that you start with the potty in the room where you are. Because you don't know what your child's skill set is. How long is it going to take them from recognizing they need to go to being able to get to the potty? For a lot of kids, when you first start, that's like a split second and you don't have time to go to the bathroom. Also, if you see resistance like that, your child might be cooperative in going with you to the bathroom. But by the time you've gotten there, then they decide, oh, no, I don't want to do it. it now. So the more steps there are in the process, if you see resistance already, the more likely you are to continue that resistance.
Yeah, I've noticed that. When we're like in outside, like in a restaurant or something, she says, I need to go pee-pee. And then by the time it takes us to get to the restroom, then I sit her down. She's like, no, no more.
Yeah.
I
know
that happens too sometimes. That happens with my baby and my husband. but also because, like, in fact, it happened yesterday. We went out to eat and, you know, he goes, popo, popo, right? Mm-hmm. That's, he calls pee-pee and popo the same.
Of course.
And my husband took him, and by the time they got to, like, to the bathroom door, he's like, now! Mm-hmm. It happened three times with my husband. And by the fourth time, I was like, I'll take him. But that's because I'm, like, an enforcer. Like, if I'm going, I'm going. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not coming back. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And he sat down and he peed, and then we, you know, we did it and we came back. So I think it's just, like, a matter of consistency. And I think, like,
absolutely,
it's like a very similar theme we always hear with every expert we bring in
with
here.
Everything.
And we're trying to get around it. Like, so how can I do this without being consistent? Because my schedule's inconsistent.
Oh, yes.
It has to be consistency.
Yes. And we actually use three C's of potty training. So that's consistency, calm, and commitment to the process. And that, I think, covers everything that you just said.
Right.
Yeah.
And my husband, I always call my son my husband. And my husband, my kid, sometimes, I don't know. It's all a blur in my head at this point. But our school that we go to, my kids, I love it so much because their number one thing is consistency. Like, they put consistency above everything. Anything. And I learned so much from that. And just talking to you right now and me repeating that, it just kind of came to my head. And just that's what kids like.
That's what they like. And also, if you think about this, this is them learning a skill. That's what they need in order to be able to learn the skill. And sometimes we end up sending mixed messages if we're not consistent. So even though you tell a child to put their pee or poop in the potty, if you're not being consistent, then they're subconsciously going to get the message. Well, sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't, and they think that that is okay.
Right.
So then you have to overcome that issue. So it's easier just to be consistent from the very beginning as much as you can.
Cool.
3 to 4 days.
So you brought some cool things.
I did. Yeah.
You brought like a whole gear of stuff.
I brought a couple things to show you.
All right, show us your goodies.
Okay, so I actually don't recommend a lot of potty training products, but...
So thank you.
So this is not an expensive process.
So don't overbuy.
Don't overbuy. All you need for potties is a very simple potty. No bells and whistles. You don't need characters. You absolutely do not need sound effects or anything like that. So the idea is this is a piece of furniture that your child has for a specific use. It's to put pee and poop in, and it's not to be confused with a toy or anything else. So this is my favorite potty. This is called a Primo 4-in-1 potty. The reason why I like it is because it's 4-in-1. So it is a step stool. So when your child is learning to use on the big potty, you can actually take the seat out and just put it on the big potty and use it as a step stool. Oh, nice. You can also use it as a standalone potty. And what I like about it is I often work with kids that are a little bit bigger or older. And so it's got a nice wide seat for them. It's really cushy in terms of the seat.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then it's very easy to clean.
I know Munchkin has a 4-in-1 that we love also that we can use.
As long as it's not like over the top and crazy.
So no bells and whistles.
No bells and whistles.
Oh, I have something very similar.
Potet travel potty. And this, I don't have a plastic bag with me, but you just put a plastic bag in it like a doggy bag and your child pees and then you take it and put it in the trash. And so this is awesome because one, you can use it as a standalone potty. Mm-hmm. Two, you can fold it up and slide it. Comes with this little carrying case. You can slide it in your purse. And three, you can fold it out. And
that's
use
what
it as a seat insert. And it's really awesome. The other thing I'll say is some kids don't like sitting on the plastic bag and they make a silicone liner for it that you can use also. Makes it slightly less portable, but is good for like kids if they have a sensory issue with not sitting on plastic, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool. That's kind of what I have and that's what I carry with me. Mm-hmm. And I also like it because if I put him on the real toilet in like a public bathroom, if I put the paper... on like the plastic, the paper on top of the toilet, then it goes the whole thing because it's paper.
You take forever and then they do.
And so I love that because it's basically like it's clean.
Yeah.
So you absolutely. Put it over any public bathroom and...
Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
What's that
called? Well, this... And what about the yellow cup?
The yellow cup.
Can it be red cup?
Yeah, it could be a red cup. I like the yellow one because pee-pee. So this is really good. This is like the cheapest potty training hack ever. Right?
What?
And so this is really good like to keep in your car in case you don't want to pull out the potat. Your child can pee-pee in the cup. You can keep it underneath the sink in the bathroom. So if your child is in the bathtub and they need to pee, you don't have to get them up, dry them all off, put them on the potty, put them back in the bath. They can just pee in the cup. And it is also really helpful in early days of potty training if like the amount of time between which you know your child needs to pee and they pee is that. You can use this. Or if your child hates the potty.
It will be easier for boys.
It's easier for boys. I have a girl and we do use the cup sometimes. We actually used it in the first few days of potty training with her. For us, the way this worked is she peed in the cup
carry
once.
Water on for me. For real.
She peed in the cup once. She decided, I don't like that. And so the second she'd see it have the cup in my hand, she'd go sit on the potty. So that's how it worked for us.
And do you like, so as soon as you see them peeing, you just go.
Yeah. Because those first few days, you know. It really can be lightning speed.
Just make
quick.
Sure. Can, right. Yeah. That's why it's yellow.
Yeah.
They're red when they're running. You're like, oh, is this beer?
I know.
So, yeah, part of the potty training process is they learn to hold and consolidate their pees. And so a lot of kids don't know how to do that at first, especially when they're 20 months old, like my daughter was when we potty trained. So it's good to have something there to help catch it if you need to.
Nice.
Totally makes sense.
Nice.
Totally makes sense.
So tell me now, like, a question about boys.
Mm-hmm.
when I, my potty training that I'm doing, pee sitting mm-hmm. with both pee and poo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, at what point am I going to show him to stand up? Or should I just, like, let him figure that out on his own?
Generally speaking, they're going to figure it out on their own. So there's no big need to rush into that. Basically, like, when they're big enough to stand over and successfully get their pee in the big toilet, then it's fine for them to stand up.
Okay. Because so, like, I've seen some, like, stuff on Amazon. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I saw this one that, like, you aim it and it twirls and stuff. Yeah. Like, am I going to have to get that? Or
no.
Just, like, okay.
And imagine how hard that is for a child, to be honest, right? Like, well, I mean, I find that to be a little confusing.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, should I buy this side thing? Like, what? What do I do with a boy? I mean, right now, I'm just like,
well, that's,
sit down, honey, pull it down.
That's part of why I said you don't need to buy a lot of things to potty train. Right. So a lot of those things are kind of about like making us feel better about like, oh, this hack is going to get it for us. And then he's going to figure out the potty by himself.
But really, all you need is that yellow cup.
Parenting, consistency, teaching them the skill. And that's what potty training is. It's much easier for boys to learn to pee sitting down than standing up unless they have a strong natural inclination. Like, I have to stand up and there's a power struggle about it, then leave it. But otherwise, because they need to sit to poop, and pooping is harder for them to learn than peeing for most kids, it's better to have them sit, again, for consistency and to make it easier for them to wrap their brains around everything.
Got it.
Yeah.
So then, hold on, another boy question. So my husband's teaching him to hold his pee down, his mm-hmm. pee-pee down while mm-hmm. he pees, because mm-hmm. if he don't, like, you know, even though the toys that we have kind of have that thing in the front,
little splash
the
guard,
little splash guard, like, splash guard doesn't really work. So is that okay, or is that confusing him?
No, that is totally fine. You can either teach him how to do it on his own. You can gently hold it down for him.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Or what I find to be easiest is just to tell them to lean forward, and that points it down.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't have one, so like, I don't get it.
Right?
That makes total sense, though. So I have another question, because see, with my first daughter, it was completely different, like mm-hmm. I said, and she actually didn't use any mm-hmm. of this. She mm-hmm. she learned on the actual mm-hmm. big toilet. I just bought a cover.
Mm-hmm. Like a little insert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's say I do an immersion with my youngest daughter, mm-hmm. and then we do 2 months. at what point do I start encouraging her to go on the big one on her own? Or how long do I have to wait? Or
yeah, so there's a really wide range in terms of what kids are willing to do in that respect. So if a child is wanting to go straight to the big potty right away, no problem, that's great. But the little potty chair is really to make things as easy as possible for okay. them. So I would say when you are confident that your child can consistently make it to the bathroom from wherever mm-hmm. they are and not have an accident on the way, then you can go ahead and move the potty chair into the bathroom. Okay. At that point, usually it becomes a choice between the big potty and the little one, and you can kind of take your child's lead at that stage. A lot of kids will like the small potty when it's out in the room with them because it's more interesting. They don't have to go too far to stop what they're doing, but once you go into put it in the bathroom, then they start wanting to use the bigger toilet on their own
okay.
Because the little potty is no longer so interesting. So, you know, it can take a while. For my daughter, you know, she was young, and so they're a little more sensitive to those kinds of transitions. So it took a good few months before she started sometimes using the big toilet. And then it took a longer time for her to get consistent with doing that all the time.
Okay. Okay.
Beautiful. Awesome. Oh, well, thank you so much. Oh my gosh. I'm ready.
I know. So I'm ready. I think it's just like going back to just immersion.
Yes.
You know? I mean, that's what we did
yeah.
at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what you have to do.
And
yeah.
then what do you like? So, like, do you have, when you do that, do you have to like invite your babysitter, your husband, your everybody just to look at it? Cause you know, that's what happens whenever there's like school sitters, uh-huh. you know, all these things, like you're all in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then
the best thing to do is communicate with them after the fact and when the child is not around. Okay. So here's one thing I'll say.
When they're not around.
The number okay. one killer of potty training is pressure. And if you think about, our bodies are really big in relation to our child's. We're adults. You know, there's all kinds of things that go along with that. So I have seen many cases where the more adults who are in the room with the child, especially if they're all focused on potty training, the more pressure it feels to the child. Okay. So usually it's better to have one adult per child. So if you have multiples, two adults and two kids, if you're doing both at once. But one adult per child, and then they're super tuned in to everything their parents do and say. And so if you are talking about like the hits and misses of the potty training day, you know, with daddy when he comes home from work or something like that, then your child's going to listen to that. And if it's a negative conversation, they're going to pick up on that. So it's best to just mm-hmm. kind of leave it till the end okay. of the day when you're making plans for how to regroup. And when you do return to daycare or school or babysitter, that kind of thing, you don't have to give them the blow-by-blow of every single thing that happened in your potty training experience so far. So basically, some good information is how frequently the child needs to go, what they might look like before they need to go, or what they might say. But most kids are not going to start initiating in that way until about 3 to 4 weeks into the process. So in those early days, they may not say anything. So it's more like observe the child, and this is what their little pee-pee dance is going to look like when you know that you're going to need to take them. So basically, how frequently they go and what their signs of needing to pee are. And that's about all you need to communicate aside from the methods and you know, what you're using in that respect.
Awesome.
And what about like childcare? So, you know, she mm-hmm. goes to school mm-hmm. and whether they require a pull-up mm-hmm. until she's fully mm-hmm. dry for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But until we get there, how do I make the transition between after school and
yeah,
home?
Yeah. So I see this situation a lot. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say is I always try to negotiate for if a daycare is requiring pull-ups or diapers, I always try to negotiate for undies under plastic pants if possible, like okay. old school trainers. That's not always possible. Not all daycares will work with that. But what's good about them is they maintain the feeling of wetness. They're very uncomfortable when they're wet. And they also contain the accident for daycare, which is essentially what they're
yes.
wanting.
Uh-huh.
So you know it's much harder for them to stay dry when they're in the pull-ups, so that yeah. they have to stay dry for 2 weeks in pull-ups while they're at school until we take them off. Like, that's a very hard situation to work with. So if you can negotiate for that, that's the best. Now, from there, assuming you do have to go to school in pull-ups or diapers or the plastic pants, the best thing to do is to put them on at school or daycare and take them off there as well. So that communicates the message, hey, what happens at daycare stays at daycare. daycare and at home, we put all our pee pee in the potty. Got it. It will take more time for your child to get fully potty trained that way, but that's the real situation that many of us have to work with. Yeah. Got it, so you can potty train around the edges and consistency at home.
Oh, got it. Got it. Okay. Mm. That makes total sense. Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Super Mama tip or pick of the week. Okay. We'll be right back. Pick or tip of the week. Jenny, what other amazing pick do you have?
Okay, so right here I have a little pad of post-it notes. And my tip for the week is when you're potty training, when you go out to those public bathrooms, we now have all of these auto flush sensor toilets.
Oh, yes.
And they're super loud when they go off. So you can cover the sensor with a post-it and that will prevent the auto flush sensor from going off while your child is sitting on it. Because your child is so much smaller than an adult, a lot of times they don't sense the child properly and then they'll flush when your child is on the potty and that means they're never going to want to sit on a public bathroom toilet again.
That is
You just
awesome.
Saved her life. Oh my gosh. Yes. That's genius. Thank you, Jenny. Well, my pick is going to be, I have two picks. One is going to be your book, Oh Crap Potty Training. Mm-hmm. And where can we get it?
So this is available on Amazon and at all major retailers.
Perfect.
Awesome.
When did you publish that?
So this is, I'm trained by the author of this book. So the author is Jamie Glowacki. Oh. We lovingly call her the Pied Piper of Poop. She wrote this in 2015 and shortly thereafter decided to focus more on writing and less on the potty training consulting. So she trained a few of us around the world to do the potty training consulting in her place.
Oh, great.
Nice. Yeah. So I've worked directly with her and this is the book.
The book. Perfect. Thank you. And my pick is going to be one of the things that I need to get better at, but I know we should all like be very focused on, it's not just potty, but washing your hands after. Mm-hmm. And at my baby's school, they're very consistent again. They're like super, super consistent. And my faucet is kind of like a little higher. So I bought a faucet extender. Mm-hmm. I bought it's called Aqueduct Faucet Extender. It was one I found on Amazon. It was the most affordable one. And I just put it in. It actually helps a lot because mm-hmm. it extends the faucet and they can wash your hands. And mm-hmm. it's so much easier because all you need is a little step and then you open it and then it's there. As opposed to carrying in them and becoming this whole thing with washing your hands and enjoying mm-hmm. your hands.
I know.
I've had so many times when I'm trying to hold my like heavy 3-year-old and like get her close enough when you're in those public bathrooms to try to get them out. Yeah.
Public. I just wish people, maybe we should get some faucet extenders here for the restaurant.
Or like or steps.
Or steps or something, because it's like we don't think of these little people. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, there's places that have steps under the sinks for them.
I love when I go into a place that has those.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm
looking for we need to get some for here. For the restaurant.
I'll get on that. My pick this week. So I have two girls and every morning, you know, the battle of the hair. It's like, come here, let me do your hair, right? And every morning their hair is like what do you call it, bedhead, you know, like with the so you know, I remember when I was a kid, mom used to put like limon, but I don't put limon on them. I put water on them to like tame it and then do their hair in the morning. And I remember like I used to get these like cheapy spray bottles, but they squirt like so directly into the hair that their face would be dripping with water. Anyway, when I went to cut their hair this last time, I saw this amazing water spray bottle that it was from the hairstylist, and it's actually mist. It's actually like a mist, and it actually lasts really long. So it's not just like pss, pss, it's just like tss, and it just mist all over their hair.
That'd be great for your face.
Yeah,
to refresh yourself.
For I use it for my kids' hair, but yeah, also for to put water on, or like para plancha. I don't know. It's called Flairsol Stylist Reusable Spray Bottle. They're like $8.99, and for me at least, with the girls, it just saves me so much time and so much drama with like, mom, you're putting water on my clothes, you're putting water on my face. So it's easier for me to like style their hair in the morning. It just saves me so much time, and they come in all these like cool colors and stuff. Mine's pink, cause I have two girls. But you guys should check it out. It's really good for that. It's just like very light mist. So I really like that spray bottle.
Awesome. We definitely have that battle at home too.
I know. You should try it out. Believe
me. Battle of the hairs.
The battle of the hair every morning. And now
my kid has long hair. He's a boy, but he has long hair too.
And yeah.
I already got a note from school that I either need to cut his bangs or like put a hella gel in the mornings, because he's always like,
I see that face. Poor thing.
Thank you so much again for coming,
thank you.
Jenny.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You dropped so much knowledge. I feel like so much better and more like at ease at this whole potty training thing again. And
so avoiding, I'm not a toilet failure.
Avoiding regressions. Again, where can we contact you?
My website is Oh Crap Potty Training with Jenny, JENNY.com. And you can find me on Facebook at the same place. And like I said, I've got a blog and all kinds of other resources on my website too.
Beautiful. And you can actually work with the family individually, correct? Yeah, via Skype.
The bulk of what I do is personalized consulting. So adapting the potty training to your real situation and troubleshooting, because nothing's ever going to go exactly according to plan. So I work with parents via web, via Skype, and via phone.
Beautiful.
I'm going to hit you up. And we're going to link all your information on our show notes, ladies. So check out the blog on our website, supermamaspodcast.com. And don't forget to also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook @_supermamas at Instagram and Twitter, and Supermamas Podcast on Facebook. Also, do not forget to subscribe on iTunes and rate us. Give us some 5 stars, please. And Supermama Social, everybody. Supermama Social 17 is only a few months away. Please get your tickets. Believe me, they are flying fast.
Beautiful. Well, again, thank you, Jenny, for coming. I hope you stay for lunch. Mm-hmm. Have some mole on us. And we'll see you guys next week. Supermama!
Supermama!
Thank you. Bye.